Welcome to Off Court, the business of sport podcast, where business and sports culture meet. Let's go. Kick it off, Robbie.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Off Court podcast. This is an interesting one. The people who have been following this podcast and have listened to a few podcasts may recognize JB, or at least the name. Look, there's a bit of a story behind this, but look, essentially, after we had JB on the podcast, it must have been a few months ago, JB. It must have been a few months ago.
It was January, I think.
Yeah. Well, it was 6 months. There you go. Basically, JB and I were discussing his startup, which is Team Tokens. For those that did listen to that podcast, it's essentially a blockchain-based startup, which is really, I think, revolutionizing some of the sports engagement, I would say, JB, as far as, well, on a number of factors, but particularly from a team engagement perspective. So we'll talk about all that. But the big news and the big update is after that podcast, JB and I were discussing, and I said, JB, you know, if you're looking for a partner or someone to invest in the business or to assist in any way, I believe in this idea. And if you're interested in having a chat, let's chat. And we moved pretty quick, I think. So, yeah, the big news is that I've invested into the business and I suppose partnered and helping out with some of the digital strategy. So this podcast is a little bit of a follow-up on that, just to kind of see how the startup is going, learn a little bit more about the company and what it's doing, some of the partnerships already, which has been really exciting. But before we get to all that, welcome back, JB.
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks for having me again. I'm a regular now.
You are a regular. You never know. you might end up being a
co-host.
Yeah, we're going that way, aren't we? All right. So, mate, tell us. It's, you know, it's obviously been exciting. The last sort of 6 months or so, a lot has happened. There's been some big progressions. And, you know, the nature of a startup is that it's not sort of like a linear or a straight line path upwards. There's lots of ups and downs. You know, there's lots of setbacks. Generally, you're working on or with not as many resources as you'd like. So just give us a bit of a general sort of quick fire on how it's going.
Yeah, great. I mean, since last time we talked, what I would say, the main changes, we got some type of funding. And I feel like by the end of last year, we were having a really good idea. We had some pretty good traction with different potential clients. Getting first fundings obviously brings you those resources to create an actual product that is working. We've been able, once you have this date of when your product is going to be working, it's much easier to also sign up deal. So we signed a deal with the Blues, a super rugby team in New Zealand, based in Auckland. So we've been able to go to market with them on a really soft launch to really try the market before be able to release a full platform with them from next season. We have been people jumping on board. You part of that, Robbie. So yeah, it's been I would say the last 6 months have really been making an idea to a tangible product and to a tangible business with long term and short term objectives.
So for those that didn't listen to that first podcast, what can you kind of explain exactly what Team Tokens is and what it kind of offers? Because I think sometimes people just go blockchain or crypto or something and they'll just kind of group everything under one umbrella. But this is very distinct, very niche, and serves a pretty specific purpose.
Yeah, so Team Tokens is a blockchain-based fan engagement platform. And what we do really is we're creating, we have a white label platform that is working with sport organization. And through this white label platform, you can generate branded tokens for a club. you can deploy NFTs, and you have an NFT marketplace and a token only store. So those tokens in our business model are not changing price. So they're blockchain based, but not changing price, just for a reason that they are made to be spent, and you want to be able to reissue some of those tokens. The recent blockchain and crypto market fluctuation are kind of almost a good thing for us, just because our business model is going to protect sports fans from those fluctuations. The way to get those tokens would be to buy them, and our experience and the user experience is really simplified. You purchase those tokens with your credit card or Apple Pay, Google Pay. And you can also earn those tokens by engaging with your favorite team. So by going to the stadium, by purchasing through their partners, and by answering poll and answering to some non-strategic decision within the club.
Very cool. So can you give us an example? So Auckland Blues is obviously one of the first partners, and that's been, you know, I mean, you mentioned it as sort of a soft launch, but it's gone really well. So can you kind of mention some of the examples or, I suppose, activations we did with the Blues as far as like what it actually is?
Yeah, so with the Blues this season, we by announcing a partnership, we first of all, we released 500 free digital collectibles. So when we started partnership with the Blues, they went to do a bit of a survey with their fan base, and it's a club that really take in consideration what their fans want, which is great for us. And we've been confronted to the fact that calling NFTs and NFTs actually has a little bit of a bad name, and a lot of people are not really aware of what it is, and blockchain is really assimilated to crypto, and NFTs are assimilated to a bit of a scam for some people that don't know and not too aware of those. And that was great for us to know that, because first of all, we stopped calling NFTs NFT. We call them digital collectible for the reason that NFT is the underlying technology. But what those NFTs are literally digital collectible. So we've been releasing those digital collectibles for the Blues. The first one was a 500 of them that was a representation of some of their iconic players through all their title, and we gave away those 500 NFTs, and out of those 500 there was 10 silver NFT and 10 gold collectibles, I should call them. But the silver one, you will get a signed poster, the same poster but was signed by some of those players, and the gold one was coming up with a poster and some premium ticket for a game. But throughout the season, we've been selling some of those collectibles as well. And for the finals that was last weekend against the Crusaders, you had the opportunity to come to the stage. If you were the person that won the bid for that collectible, you were getting picked up in a limousine to go to the stadium, because that was a full Eden Park, so it would be a nightmare to get there. You were having a 15-minute drink in the coach's box with the video analyst, and that gave a little bit of an insight what would be the strategy of the Blues during that game. You also had access to a VIP lounge, so that was a pretty, pretty premium package. And I think the fact that the limousine came, you could meet some of the staff. It was really to open the door to this behind the scene and really give a glimpse of what it is for the Blues team and the Blues, all the Blues club in that type of events.
Yeah, it's cool because like the way you sold it to me, and I use the word sell lightly, was essentially like, you know, example is like I'm a big, you know, Tottenham supporter, which is a, you know, Premier League team. And this is kind of different to your example, where, you know, that was like an in-person event. But, you know, for me, who can't get to the games, obviously, it's another way for me to kind of engage with the team, because like I watch the games pretty much every week, follow all the social medias, I follow all the news sites with all the updates and everything. But essentially what this is that it's that digital missing link that allows you to further engage with the team that you already follow and that you already love, to feel even closer and get those additional kind of, not incentives, but, you know, just that little extra thing, because, you know, I know that I look forward to, you know, strangely getting up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning to watch a Tottenham game. How do you leverage that even more sort of emotionally and from an engagement perspective? And that's what this does, and that's what, you know, the technology can be, I think.
Yeah, and also that was something that we've been lucky to be able to do some of those real life experiences. But when we had the agreement with the Blues at the, I would say, March, the Blues were actually on a bubble on the south of New Zealand. All the teams were living in bubble because there was some strict lockdown in New Zealand. And we were still like able to be saying if 1 month we can start experiences that can be digital with those collectibles, we can mix some of the digital experiences, and that could have been like fitness session on Zoom, could have been like a call with a favorite player or the coach. So you could still do quite a lot of things, and we would have been able as well to pretty quickly switch from digital to physical and in real life experiences. And I think that was something that made a lot of sense for the Blues, and that reassured them that it's not because we don't have access to the player on a daily basis and on a real life basis that we can't do anything. There's still plenty to do, and fans that can go to the stadium, they still have an appetite to do those digital experiences.
Definitely. And from a business perspective, like, I mean, I suppose really only sort of chatting with yourself, who's obviously the founder of the company, and I'm not going to mention any names because I don't think that would be fair to mention anyone, but it's was really kind of eye-opening for me to see, you know, the quality of people that were already backing the business. And we're talking about some really prominent people in kind of the sports business world, that really smart people that are getting behind it. So for me, I was like, whoa, like, you know, these are, you know, top dogs in the industry that are backing this thing. So, you know, I'd already committed at that point. So that was just a bit of cherry on top, I think. But, you know, I think that kind of speaks volumes about, you know, the concept and where we're heading as far as digitalization of fan engagement.
Yeah, and I think having this type of people as well, they really help you to concentrate and focus on some specific area, because most of them have been used to deal with organization and with club. And it's sometimes, if you listen to me, on the first business model of Team Tokens, I probably wanted to do too much. And having people that have been able to set in a successful business, it's really helped a founder, I guess, to really center his attention and really concentrate on the main focus and what brings a value straight away to a club and an organization. Obviously, you want to expand and you want to do more things in the future, but I think it's, as a new product, especially in this, using new technologies, is important to also be pretty focused on what you want to do and or you want to bring value.
Definitely. And what does, like, the, I don't know, I can see this being the headline of the podcast, but what does the day-to-day look like in running a blockchain startup, which is obviously very unique and new, but what does that look like for you from, you know, managing technology and then, because it is a new technology as well, integrating that into regular business practices and how you communicate with people who may not be as familiar with blockchain. I mean, what does look like? What does running a blockchain startup look like?
I think the main thing is to know what is possible to do and make it as simple as possible. I think we're working with all developers. I've been really good on understanding what was the vision and what was the end product will be looking like. But obviously, you've got all the architecture, or you want to make sure this is a safe product in terms of, as soon as you've got a blockchain wallet, there's obviously a possibility of attacks. So you want to make sure that's safe. All the payment integration, or you're going to purchase those tokens, are obviously some of the main core, and probably not as fun as dealing with club and selling what you can do, all the fun experiences, but that's really like something that you have to make sure is as safe as possible. And the main concern is, or you get something off the ground that is working and that it can be an MVP, and or can people can start to use this product. Obviously, we're making a product that is as modular as possible, and we're trying to have all the components interchangeable, and because it's something I said on the last podcast, but that is still true. Like things are evolving super quickly, and you want to make sure you don't go too far on a highway and then won't be able to pivot if you have to add component or change some of those components. So that in terms of the technology, that's really all it is, making able to have a roadmap that takes you to a final product. I mean, final product, a first version of a product that can be used, and then are you going to make sure you can have an evolution of this product.
What's been like the biggest challenge in getting it to this point? Like, obviously, you know, it's a funded startup, you know, there's investors, and there's a product that's quite complex in nature. What's been kind of the biggest barrier or the biggest challenge, I suppose, in building the company to this point?
I think the main challenge is, it's a whole thing. You need client to get funding, but with funding, you can have a product, so you can get more clients. So it's always a balancing act, I guess, between, and now we have a client is really a balancing act, or you do some type of client management and helping the Blues to get the best collectibles and the best out of our soft launch, and that would be next season, or they can make the most of a platform. Always the funding part as well. It takes time to get funding, and you speak with a lot of different people that are interested, but is how you're gonna kind of seal the deal and also find people that are, I would say, like-minded, because I think we've got a pretty good team, and you want to try to keep, even if we are a startup, we want to keep an harmony between everyone and find like-minded people that wants to do things together. And I think after in the technical part, it was first finding the right resources, because there's a shortage on developers, and blockchain developers is really hard as well to find. And we've been lucky through our network to find some really good guys on that. And once you have those resources, is taking this big chunk of work and be able to cut some of the features, finding way to create things on a certain amount of time, and that still brings a lot of value.
For me, this is something that is going to be inevitable in every major sports club and sports event around the world in, I would say, a matter of years, probably.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it's...
I suppose that was my question for you, is what? How long do you think it is before? Because obviously, the Blues are early adopters in this, I suppose, particularly in Australia and New Zealand. But how long do you think until this is mainstream?
I would say a couple of years as well, probably. Yeah, I think by 2 or 3 years, every club would have one of their sponsors would be a crypto exchange. I think if you look at some of the sums and the amount of stadium and major event that are just named by crypto exchange, so that would be, everyone would have one of those. Every league would have a top shot, NBA top shot type of product, which means digital collectible based on the players, which are like trading cards, but digital trading cards. And I think every club will have their own as well, their own token, their own currency, and they will be able as well to all deploy their own NFTs for their fans, but all made as well in-house with possibility to interact between clubs.
And that's what I love about it also being like white label, if you will, is like the clubs still sort of control the branding to an extent. So it's not like, you know, you have to use team tokens and then all of a sudden team tokens, you know, takes over your, you know, your web apps and stuff like that. It's just like integrated into already what they're doing, I think, is one of the key selling points.
Yeah, we are a third-party technology provider, and our role is fun. When someone is on the Tottenham app and will go on the Tottenham Team Token portal through the Tottenham app, it should be the same as if they stayed on the website. And it's controlled as well by the club. Like we're obviously helping and doing a bit of consulting and trying to point the clubs on the right directions on what they should do or should not do with their collectibles. But it's also controlled mainly by the club, and every club knows their fan best. You know, we were surprised at the beginning when the Blues said they will do a survey with their core fans, but they said fans are creator of habits. You know, every time you're going to try to change things, and to be a bit disruptive. They're always kind of scared they're going to lose some of the things they're used to and some of the things that they have memory with. So it's important to consult the fan on what you're going to do and what you want to do, and you want to make sure there's no red flags and you're not going against the value of the club.
Definitely. And I found it interesting, I think it was this week or maybe last week, the AFL, at time of recording, the AFL said they're going to go back on using, they're going to bring back like manual tickets for games, like paper tickets, which I found absolutely bizarre because obviously, you know, it's 2022, like we don't need paper tickets like that. I don't think that's what's stopping people going to the games, but
Yeah, I don't think so as well, and it's
yeah, I mean, but the point on that is like is directly related to what you're saying in regards to like there's that cohort of fans, you know, old school fans that are like, why change things? You know, it's always been done this way. And you know, when you're talking about things like crypto and blockchain, and you know, that's probably another level where, you know, the base of people that truly understand it is small right now, growing but reasonably small, so it makes sense in for clubs to want to validate the partnerships and what they're doing, and you know, not go all guns blazing at you know, completely changing their messaging around it.
Yeah, but I think, when the AFL say we're going to reintegrate the paper ticketing, in a world where everyone trying to go as green as possible, I don't think that that's an answer either, And in terms of all those products that you can do with team tokens, you can also do, and I think something that has a lot of value for club is creating digital proof of attendance as well. So if you have your ticket linked to your wallet, or if you have some different QR code or different doors at the MCG, you could, as a club, every home game do an NFT that represents that game made by a local artist or by someone that works in the club, and you can get those for free. And you've got those proof of attendance from every game you've been, and you can then swap them with your friends. And I think that has a lot of value, and that's probably a new way. Instead of, I always used to keep tickets when I was younger, but I feel like ticket design became minimalist with just a QR code, and it's probably not what you want to keep nowadays. And I think this type of product is something that fans will like, and it's, I think the great thing about that is that if yourself, Robbie, you don't collect them, but I collect them, but you go to the game, you can still send it to me, or you can sell it somewhere, and probably the club will get some type of royalty as well. So you create a new need, and the club might create new revenues out of it. So it's
Definitely.
using technology to just fulfill this need that always been here, collecting things from club. It's just using technology, and I think what we're doing really with blockchain is really the technology that support our product, but that's why it's a blockchain product. But it's just the technology that support what we're doing.
You know, I was just thinking with, so, you know, like football, you're a big football shirt collector, big Marseille fan, I think, from memory. Yeah. So what I was just thinking, so there's obviously a big collectible culture around football kits, like soccer kits. I was thinking, like, you know how like every team basically releases like three kits every season, and then you know there's obviously big demand and there's big like hype around that, like you know, the home kit, the away kit, the third kit. So that essentially could be like become digital collectibles in itself, the kits, like, or even if you buy like, you know, the home kit, you get the digital collectible with it as well, whatever you add it into your app. But also I'm thinking like from a royalty perspective for the club, like, you know, say the 2022 away kit is iconic, and then in 10 years, in 2032, people are trading it, you know, whatever, because it's collectible and they want it, and the, as you said, like the club would get like royalties. So that's an interesting kind of
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of fake as well in the jersey world now, and that could be a proof of authenticity as well. Like, I think the NBA was doing something a few years ago. I don't know if they still do it, where you use as an NFC when you were putting your phone against a part of the jersey. There was something about the authenticity. I'm not too sure if it's still they still do that, but I think that would be something that would make sense, using blockchain technology for those type of product, and all this authenticity of memorabilia. And I think it's also for all the all the match worn jerseys and player issues, like the Blues, for example, this season really some of the match worn jersey from last season. There was four of them, and four were from some of their key player. And if you purchased the jersey, so it came with an NFT, so that certified the authenticity, and it was actually brought by the player to your place. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And signed and framed. So yes, all those products as well that we commercialize and that are extra limited. I think it's always a lot of, if you're a collector of jersey, you've been through all those stories where, and especially now, like price of jerseys that just became like out of hand. And but you have to trust the guy that say that show you a stain on the jersey, said that was this jersey was wearing it. I think clubs can make quite a lot of revenue from those products, and there's an appetite from fan. You rather pay a bit more, but knowing it's from the club and the player actually give it to you, than buying it online and trusting someone.
Definitely, very cool. So JB, where to from here? So obviously you're starting to get some traction. What's the next step here for the business?
Really, what we're focusing in now. So now we will have an MVP by August. So that will be a working product, and that the plan is from now to August, trying to get probably another couple official partners, and from there, once we will have the product and the partners, that's where we want to expand and show that we will be able to gather data and really show some growth and showing some of the first results from the Blues partnership. We've always sold all the NFTs and collectible we've been doing, so it means that there's a real appetite from fan for this type of product, but not now to really to grow the business and scale it. It's really from getting the platform ready and putting it on the end of the fans and hoping for a quick adoption and adoption by the most club as possible.
Awesome. All right. Well, JB, thanks for coming on for the follow-up podcast, which I'm now invested in. So I hope it goes gangbusters. Thanks for jumping on, JB.
Thank you so much, Robbie. I hope the next time I come in, we'll be able to have some more good news.
I hope so.
Thanks so much.